Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, and I got Kyle here with me. It's the normal squad, and we're back after a one-week hiatus.
I don't know if people call me normal or not, though. My kids definitely don't, so.
I'm not normal either, so.
Okay.
Oh, not the
people
that
are normal. Regularly on the pod are back again. After a one-week hiatus, we are back.
That's right. Damon's operating on short sleep, so we're just checking him to make sure he's with it. And yeah, that was good. Good job, Damon.
Yeah, we're recording. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon right now, and I've been up since 1:30 in the morning. So yeah, if I'm a little slow today, you guys know why. And I'll need Brett and Kyle to pick me up.
Labor Day threw you off?
It must be something. I don't know. So we actually have a couple of different sermons that we wanted to pick up on and just tag along with. And we also wanted to expand a little bit on some of the things that happened at the staff retreat. I feel like it all kind of plays together. So, you know, 2 weeks ago, actually, let's go back 3 weeks to the August 18th, where we got a chance to share for our Africa trip. And I think in our last episode, we touched on it a little bit, that Henry made a declaration that we are in a new season. And then so in the last, not this last sermon, 2 weeks ago sermon, Pastor Barry expanded on that by talking a little bit about what this new season that we're in looks like a little bit. And one of the things that he talked about was in our old season, one of the things that seemed to be a part of our church was this sense of harmony, but recognizing that it was kind of a false harmony. It wasn't the fullness of what harmony is. Yeah. And so Pastor Barry wanted us to recognize that what we were living in was kind of a partial harmony. And what the future for our church is he wants us to recognize what real harmony looks like. So I thought that could be a place where we get started on this episode, is talking about false harmony and maybe a little bit of experience from our retreat and how that came up. So Kyle, you want to get us started?
Way to go, Damon. I was waiting for you to pick somebody. I was going to ask Brett otherwise. So,
got to throw you under the bus before you do it to
us. That's right, man. You guys are learning. You guys are picking up. Yeah, you know, it is interesting to use the word false harmony, because it does make it seem like harmony is bad. But it really is just, it lacks fullness of what harmony needs to be. And so it's the harmony of not wanting to ruffle feathers, not wanting to step on toes, which sometimes it's good and there's value in that. But then it's also keeps us from saying things that need to be said, from approaching people in a way that they need to be approached, and basically just shoving things under the rug to try to keep things peaceful. And so I think there's seasons and there's times where that is really valuable, but then when that's all there is, then it leaves a kind of like a gap or like a part that's not being addressed. And so I think that's what Pastor Barry was alluding to. And he, you know, for him, you know, the church culture is definitely a reflection of Pastor Barry. And so he recognized that he goes that way and he can go that way too far. And he's been recognizing that that's not fully healthy for our church.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not false in the way that it's trying to keep relationship with one another, but it's just like the healthier way that allows, I think, where the elders and the staff and especially Pastor Barry senses where the Lord is taking us, that in order to go to those places, to follow him deeper and gain a better understanding, the depth of harmony and kind of the lean to that doesn't lend itself well to be able to go there. And so, yeah, it's a more full picture, because I think there is harmony, like just for harmony's sake. Mm-hmm. And with certain people, you know, part of that is just being respectful or polite, and that's not bad. But if everything just stays at that level, then you're not able to go any deeper than that, because it's always, I'm afraid of rocking the boat, or I'm afraid to hurt somebody, or I'm afraid, what if I don't say the right thing? And then now you're just kind of like staying on the surface. And so if we really want to go where God is leading us, sometimes we're going to have to, you know, take jumps and leaps of faith and know that we're doing it together. So our intention is not to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is malicious, but by taking risks or exploring unknown areas or heading into new seasons, there's going to be some bumps and bruises, but it's how do we handle that healthily, right? And so the harmony, I think, really speaks to also the class that Mimo's doing. Mm. It's really like, can we have a healthy, emotionally healthy and spiritual healthy relationship to where, yeah, we're not perfect, so we're going to rub each other the wrong way or hurt each other, but that shouldn't, well, we wouldn't want it to hurt in the long run in our relationship or in where we're going with God. And so, yeah, the fullness of it, I think, is a good word, because it's not harmony for harmony's sake. It's like, no, because we're searching for something deeper.
Right.
Yeah, as we were kind of prepping for this episode and we were talking about false harmony, I think kind of the way that we came across it is that it's really more a partial harmony that we were experiencing.
Right.
Because on the outside, it seemed like harmony, right? But there might be internal things that aren't being discussed, internal ways that some of us might have felt like, oh, I have to just hold my tongue right now because I don't want to hurt these relationships or things. But internally, we're feeling the weight of whether it's disagreement or something else is being stirred up. So there's not an internal harmony, even though things on the outside look like they're harmonious.
Yeah, I mean, it's because there's things in the Bible where it tells us to speak the truth in love. But if you know that speaking that truth is going to be uncomfortable, like, and if you defer just to harmony, then you're not doing it. You're not fulfilling all of what the Bible is asking us to do, right? What God's mandate for us is. So that's a partial acting of harmony. You're doing it for harmony's sake instead of doing it for the fullness of it. So you need to do it with love and with grace. And that's an aspect of harmony, but that doesn't mean you avoid doing it completely.
I think that's the hard part, is it takes work to walk that line.
Right.
Right. Because it's so easy just to go far to one side or far to the other side. Right. And we experienced it. That's what we're talking about. We experienced going far to the harmony for harmony's sake side. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's other places that there's probably reasons that why we did that, because there's other places that we know of that probably went too far to the truth side for truth's sake, right, and weren't very loving on that side either. So trying to walk that line, it takes a lot of work. There's a lot of tension there, right, Brett?
Yeah. I
I think it's like what you said, Brett, about that class that Mimo's teaching. It's learning, sometimes it's learning vocabulary, and mm-hmm. it's learning even techniques on how to be in those situations that can be dicey or be uncomfortable, but you can do it in a way where it doesn't put your guard up or somebody else's guard up, because you can do it in a way that they understand where you're coming from and what your like purpose is. Mm-hmm. But it takes practice. A lot of us, it's easier just to stuff things and hide behind harmony and then not have to deal with it, but it takes practice to actually learn how to do it well.
Yeah, or I think to add to that too, it's like, it's easier to like sacrifice, like, okay, I just won't say anything then to keep everything okay.
Yeah.
And so then you just shove it under the rug, right? Or, oh, it's better if I just don't try to do something about it or whatever, because I don't know how the other person's going to react. And so I think sometimes that also is, I don't want to say an excuse, but it's like, it makes us feel like we're doing the right thing, mm-hmm. because it's like, well, I don't want to hurt them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the fullness of harmony also takes, yeah, like our discernment, because like you said, if you're not speaking the truth in love, or you're not keeping each other accountable or whatever it is, then you're also not really doing what you're supposed to be doing. Even if I say something to Damon and he's kind of upset about it, it's like, well, let's talk through it then, or vice versa, right? And so the thing that came to mind for me though was, and I think I've been wrestling with it, even like having the idea of being in harmony with God. Like sometimes I feel like I just say like, oh yeah, me and God are good, or I'm in a good place with God. And that's probably not the full truth. And it doesn't mean that if I say I'm not in a good place means like, oh, I don't believe in him, or like the core things. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I feel like I'm wrestling a lot, or things aren't clear. And so then even with that, are we able to be honest with ourselves about if our relationship with God and who we're trying to model a relationship after is not good, mm-hmm. then it's harder. It's going to be way harder to do that with somebody else. Because if it's to the degree that the way that God sees it in harmony, rather than just like how we choose to do it in a, you know, friend to friend, brother, sister, family thing, I think there's aspects of it that we probably miss, or we don't see, or we're scarred by. So then we carry that into our relationships with other people. And so that's something that came to mind for me personally, because yeah, I think God has tapped me out maybe 3 times this week where I'm like, he's got me in a chokehold and I'm tapped out because I'm wrestling. But that's kind of a branch off of this idea of harmony.
Well, and I didn't mean to throw you under the bus earlier by talking about tension, right, Brett? I was just trying to serve up a softball to you about throwing in messy grace right there.
No, definitely. But I think when you said that, it did bring to mind, though, like, you know, a lot of times we ask people, oh, how are you doing? Or like, I'll ask people like, how, what's really going on? How's your walk with God? Most of the time, like, oh, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. But then like for me, how often do I answer that where I'm like, I'm actually really like struggling or wrestling with this specific situation or this thing, or I don't know how I'm supposed to live this out, or like for me right now, it's like, I kind of feel like I'm having a hard time hearing God. So then it's like, if you were to ask me, how is it with you and God? And I'm just like, oh, it's pretty good. You wouldn't, you know, I'm not being fully honest with that relationship. And so in the same way, if there was something that one of you did that like, it's like, oh, I bit my tongue or I didn't say anything, it would look the same in terms of like the relationship looks like harmonious, mm-hmm. but there's actually something else going on. And so I didn't mean to veer us off that far, and no, we have to talk about that specifically, but it just made me think about, oh, do I also do that with my relationship with God, or view it that way?
Or even view that you're supposed to be in complete harmony. Mm. It's like not being in harmony is okay. Like, cause mm-hmm. that means you're wrestling, like you're challenging yourself. You're challenging God even to like, hey, what's going on? And I think there's a healthiness to that too. Cause thinking that you always have to be in harmony means that you can't disagree. You can't have those kind of, you know, feelings. Cause then, oh, I just have to stuff them. They're not just healthy. They're not, what's the word, right? Or,
Yeah.
I mean, as we're talking, the thing that comes to mind is that when do people grow? A lot of times we're not growing when things are harmonious, right? We grow when the harmony is broken, when we're working out harder than we normally would, when we're pushing ourselves to places that we wouldn't normally go. That's really when we're growing. So sometimes the harmony for harmony's sake, it actually is a cap on how much we can grow, just because we're trying to keep everything comfortable. We're trying to keep everything harmonious, but really we're limiting where we can go and how far we can grow. And especially in our relationships, we're only able to go a certain level in depth in relationship because we're just trying to get harmony for harmony's sake. So I think the challenge for us as a church is how do we go past that to find real unity, right? And I think that's one of the things that was highlighted to me about our Africa trip, was just there's so many reasons for us and our family in Mozambique to not be united, mm-hmm. right? Different language, different culture, there's just so many things that are different about us, but the unifier was Jesus, right? And so I think that's more of what we should be looking for, is how can we allow the Lord to unify us even when we disagree, or even when we find things that are different about us?
It's so funny because like you're saying, like most of the time do we grow? It's like sometimes
Sometimes, you don't want that good character, Brett.
Yeah, sometimes growing is like, do I really want to grow that much? Like, I don't know if it's worth it. When you're in it, sometimes you're just like growing pains, right?
Right.
Do my knees really have to hurt right now? Like, can I just be? But yeah, sometimes you got to go through it in order to get to the other side. And
but then if you the younger you said to the older you, like, yeah, stop growing. And then you're like, no, I want to be taller still. Like, I'm not ready for that.
yeah. But it's just funny because, I don't know if anybody else out there listening to had the same attitude as me sometimes. We're just like, okay, I don't want it then. It doesn't seem worth.
I think especially when it piles on, right? When you have those seasons that are just like, seem like they're never ending.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got something that popped in my head. I thought, okay, what's the opposite of harmony? So I looked up the thesaurus, and the antonym for harmony is disagreement. Mm. So I think in this sense, when we're talking about a false harmony, we're not talking about going to disagreement either for disagreement's sake. But it's like, but having disagreement is as a way to bring balance to either your thoughts, what you're going through. It's to bring in like different perspectives. But it's really kind of like what you started off with. It's this fullness. It's not doing something in just a partial sense. Mm. You want more fullness. And really that's like God's character. That's like, yeah, he has harmony in his character, but he has all of these other attributes at the same time. So maybe one season it lends to us, needing more of one attribute or going towards one more towards one attribute, but it doesn't mean that the other attributes just go away and they're not needed. They still are there to bring some kind of balance. And so I think that's kind of where Pastor Barry is coming from. It's like we went to a season for too long of overemphasizing or over relying on harmony, where that didn't allow for other things to come out that actually bring more fullness.
I really appreciate Pastor Barry's honesty and his willingness to just be real about it. I think that's probably really hard because I know how much I can see how much he cares for the church and he cares for his people and God's people in general. And so for him to, I don't say put all the blame on himself, but recognize that part of it does come from him. That's huge because that sets the tone. If the person at the top is willing to do it, then you know all of us can, I think, step into it and try to see where we maybe are, you know, could have been either not aware or maybe for us to take a look at ourselves and like, oh, how is our impact a part of this or whatever it is, or even just moving forward, his willingness to lead us in this way. It's like, oh, okay, I can follow that. And I really appreciate that.
And I think even to give you guys some background or some behind the scenes looks at recent meetings, I've heard him say like, this is hard for me. Mm-hmm. This is hard. This is like, it's so natural. It's part of his personality to want to drift, but just more cater towards harmony. But then it's cool to hear him say, like, I need you guys to help me. Because he knows it's like, it's a strength, but it's also a weakness. And he's like, I don't want to give up the strength part. I still want it to be there, but I need your help to even highlight, hey, I think you're going a little too hard that way. We need to have some balance. So even just hearing him be vulnerable to say like, hey, I need your help in this. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we all have our bents, you know, in different characteristics or different things that if we don't have somebody else helping us in that, yeah, we go too far to any direction, it's going to turn out to be a bad result.
I think it was good too in his sermon that he pointed out a kind of a picture for us on how we move forward, moving from this partial harmony into more of a fullness. Is he talked about being honest with ourselves, being honest with the Lord, and being honest with others. Mm. And I think that's a lot of times what ends up happening is we start trying to deceive ourselves, thinking that we're, oh, everything's okay, when really things aren't okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, my relationship with the Lord is okay, and really it's not. Or, oh, things are okay between me and this other person, and really there's a lot of tension or things that are beneath the surface that are going on. And so as we move forward to experience what the fullness of harmony is this picture of us being fully honest with ourselves, being fully honest with the Lord, and being fully honest with others, and doing it in a loving way as well. So it's kind of the way that Pastor Barry has modeled it, is kind of owning up to some of the things that we've done, but not going to the place where it's like, I'm such a bad pastor, I led us to this really bad, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not taking it over the edge,
right.
But it's recognizing, yeah, there are certain things that, you know, contributed to us being where we're at.
Yeah. Okay. I thought of this example. It actually happened this morning. So I got a teenage son in the house. He nice. just started driving.
Ooh, yeah.
And so I'm in the passenger seat, puckering up. it's not too bad, but I started noticing, I'm like, oh, I wonder if he is viewing me. Okay, so he can do things very black and white. And I've heard him say sometimes in the past where he gets upset inside when he sees people being hypocritical. And so all of a sudden it hit me like, oh, I wonder if he sees me as being hypocritical, because I'm teaching him how to drive, right? I'm saying things, but I'm teaching him from a perspective of, I want you to do things the right way so you can pass your driver's test. Mm. I do it different, right? Because I don't turn into the first lane necessarily. I might go into the second lane, right? Yeah. We're supposed to go the first lane, then the second lane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I share that with them. I'm like, well, I'm doing it. I do it different because I'm also taking into, hey, there's no other cars around. I can see that it's safe. Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah.
But I almost got a ticket for turning into the second lane before. Almost.
So, but then I thought, I'm like, you know what? I started thinking like, oh, he's starting to see me this way. And then I'm like, oh, but then there's that, hey, do I want to bring it up? Because that could be confrontational. It could blow up into something. But I'm like, it's part of actually what Mimo's class is, the healthy relationships. It's, can I check an assumption? I actually said, there's another way to do it. I can't remember the word I used, but it's like kind of like, can I clarify something with you or check something? He's okay. He's like, hey, do you think I'm hypocritical because I'm teaching you how to drive a certain way, but yet I don't follow the same rules? And he goes, no. I'm like, okay, I just want you to be clear, because I could see how it could be taken that way.
Yeah.
And I know that can eat at him inside, but he might not share it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't that bad. And it wasn't, but in my mind, I was like, okay, do I want to break the harmony? Do I want to go there? But, and then a lot of times it's like, okay, that wasn't that big a deal. Why did I make it such a big deal where it almost kept me from even checking? And then I would start assuming that, oh yeah, he's got this beef with me. And I you know, I'm like imagining it, right? So just, it's funny how that can play on our minds though, to prevent us from doing certain things.
Good job, Kyle's teenage son. You could put him into a spiral.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, yeah, he's actually trying to keep the false harmony there by not saying,
no.
Dad, yes, you're a hypocrite.
No, he did a good job responding the way he did, because it could have easily.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know if it was an honest response or if it was just like a no. And then it's like, oh, yeah, maybe I wasn't. So,
yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I think sometimes the reason why people aren't willing to go there is because they're basing it off a past experience they have, right? An unhealthy version of it. So if you do something and then the way that it plays out, the fallout of it, the response you get, you're kind of like, well, okay, I'm not doing that again. It's not worth it, right? And so I think also understanding that we're in this season, if you're on the receiving end of it, mm-hmm. it's like, how do I, in a healthy way, respond or receive that, right? Yeah. Because not that it's anyone's fault, but you know, if you get exploded on one time, you might be like, okay, I'm never doing that again, because like, anytime I do that, I feel like I'm going to get my hand bit off or whatever it is, right? And so that's all, because I remember being a teenager, and so he could have responded one of a million ways. So I'm glad that for your sake it happened that way.
Well, hopefully it was honest.
So after we've given this like 8-minute plug for Mimo's class, if you're struggling with these things, maybe you should sign up for a class.
Yeah, it starts in a couple of weeks, but yeah, there are little key phrases that help. It actually helps give you an entry into it, where it helps helps diffuse it, where like your entry doesn't become such like a bomb you drop on somebody. It's, hey, can I check something? Or, hey, I've noticed this. And it's like, it seems too simple, right, to really be helpful. And then you, but then you it's not the way I normally talk. So then it's like, oh yeah, I've noticed. It's different than, hey, I saw you. Da, da, da. It's like, hey, I've noticed this. Is there a reason behind that? I mean, it comes across a different way. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, maybe part of it's just because you're the practice dummy at home.
I guess so.
So you hear it all the time. So,
no, you're growing, Kyle.
It's rubbing off on me. I know, you're seriously. Growing.
Learning by osmosis.
Shoot. Mimo's one of our regular listeners, too, so I know this isn't going to slip by her either. So.
No, we're trying to earn you brownie points by trying to promote her class.
Thank you.
And you're doing a good job. You're following the example, so.
Trying. Yeah, see, it works. It works.
Okay, so let's connect this to, let's get off this topic. Let's connect this with the sermon from this last Sunday with Ed. And I think I saw it as a similar thing of being a partial view versus a full view. And he was talking about the kingdom. Like there's some aspects of it that we relate to that are present, like physical, that we can like touch, they're tangible. And then there's some that are internal, they're spiritual, they're future. What do you guys think of when you hear about the kingdom? Do you usually view it in one of those or the other, or do you view it in its fullness, or and how is that important to view the kingdom in more fullness?
Well, I'm definitely not as big of a fan of the royal family as Ed is. But I think for me personally, when I think of kingdom, a lot of times it the sense I get is internal, just because we never grew up in a kingdom, right? We never had a king. We've always, or at least I've always lived under presidency, democracy, republic, all that stuff. So where there's the people have the opportunity to choose who their leaders are. And so when I think of kingdom, it's hard, the physical kingdom, it's hard to relate to what that is, other than what I've seen in the history books. But so when I hear kingdom, when I hear people talking about kingdom, personally, I feel like it's, I relate to it more on a internal spiritual level as opposed to the physical. So I'm only getting partial.
So more than the present. So you're more the of what's coming, the future.
But I think what I've experienced, especially at Catalyst, is that there are aspects of the kingdom in the spiritual sense that we get to experience now. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is a present sense of the kingdom, but a lot of times it's more, for lack of better words, like ethereal as opposed to tangible.
Yeah. Wow, so that was good. I was going to say intangible instead of tangible. I don't have the vocabulary Damon has.
Think about what it would be if I got a normal amount of sleep last night.
I'm not worthy to be on the show anymore.
I know. I was going to say ditto. No,
How about for you, Brett? Like hearing the kingdom. I'm not sure if you listened to Ed's message yet, but when you hear about the kingdom of God, like, do you think of it in present versus future, tangible, intangible, ethereal? What do you connect with the easiest?
I think it's always been future oriented, and I think the only tangible thing I can say I've experienced is like I feel like it's like glimpses of it, but it's not the full picture. And so it's always that, like, almost like that song, I Can Only Imagine, right? It's like, okay, I have some idea, but it, like, I know it's even greater than that. Or, you know, I've been in a concert or in a time where we're worshiping and it's like, wow, this feels like the spirit in here, the life is like, I feel like a glimpse of what God's kingdom and heaven and being surrounded, you know, like that, like, it just makes me feel like, oh, this is like a piece of it. And so, it's always been partial for me in terms of just thinking, okay, it's future oriented. I don't really experience it or see it now, and not much tangible, things I can kind of hold on to and feel like, oh, that's the kingdom or that's part of the kingdom. Only a few glimpses here and there. I think one of the biggest things that I've always thought of too was like healing, and so then to experience that at our church and see some of it take place does give me more of like a, oh, okay, some of that is here. But always knowing that, like, you know, when people pass away or when that time comes, it's like part of his kingdom is like we're all new, everything's all good. So to me, it's, I think that's where I often push it to the future oriented.
Yeah, I mean, it's the now and not yet. It's interesting, like that the for me, it's the like the internal struggle of I'm overly reliant on my senses, and so then it prevents me from experiencing it now. But I have experienced it at times, and I can. I love that song too. That actually helps me a lot of times to remember, like, oh yes, there's something else coming. I don't fully grasp it, but it helps me to actually, my spirit like longs for that. But it does, like his message too is a reminder for me, like, oh, I'm out of balance of not wanting and pursuing enough of it now in the present and just being like, oh, I know it's coming. And it's like, it's almost like a deferral, like, oh yeah, it'll get here when it gets here, instead of like Jesus saying, like, the kingdom of God is now, it's here, and why aren't we experiencing more of it? So I felt like it was a good reminder that we need to pursue more of it here on earth.
Okay, well, I mean, it seems like we're coming from a similar place, right, where we are experiencing more of the intangible aspects of the kingdom. What do you think are ways that we can experience more of the tangible aspects of the kingdom now?
Why don't you share your insight first?
No, I'm curious. That's why I'm asking, because like I said, I feel like for me, there has been, for lack of better words, a lack of experience of the tangible parts, where it has felt more of an internal, maybe spiritual, maybe, it's not a lot of things that you can touch or feel. So how do we grow in that area?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a mindset shift. So it's really learning. I mean, I think a lot of the things we're taught and we grow up and we actually operate by are worldly systems. And so many of them are counter to the kingdom mindset. So I think it's a major mindset shift. So I think to answer your question, I've experienced it somewhat from experiencing peace, joy, like different fruits of the spirit, different fruit of the spirit. I know that was going to get to you. Sorry. Different fruit of the spirit through operating in a different way of like with how I view my money or what I'm investing my time in or things like that are more kingdom oriented, and how from a worldly perspective that wouldn't give me any kind of benefit or true result, but yet having like a different kind of experience with it. I think that's more maybe what a present experience of what the kingdom could be. So intangible, it's when you said physical or emotional or something, I think it can be more emotional, because physical, like Brett said, like maybe healings and those kind of things can be an example of it. But I think in our daily lives, it can be just operating in a way where we have I think really the word is peace, that we just have a different kind of peace that we couldn't have operating in a different system.
Part of it, and this is just a thought that I'm thinking about out loud, is what is our expectation of kind of like what the kingdom is in comparison to like the things that we experience. And so if we think it's going to be like, I almost get the sense of like, if someone tells you that like, okay, this movie is like so good, it's one of the best movies I've seen, and you go to watch it, you almost have this anticipation for, it's like, when is it going to kick in where I'm like, yes, this is the best thing I've seen. And then you go the whole movie and you're like, kind of like let down. Mm-hmm. And so your expectation is so high so that anything that you experience can't measure up to it. And I don't want to say that we need to bring the kingdom down, so to say, in terms of like, oh, okay, it's not going to be that great. It's not going to be that whatever it is. But just certain attributes do we associate it with, like, the kingdom? And I think for myself, I probably don't. And so then that's why it's always just like, well, it'll just be better later, that deferral mentality kind of. But the one way I feel like I've started to experience it is a lot more relationally with people, how I've been handling relationships and really trying to have God direct it and be a part of it. And in that, there has been times or even testimonies that I've been able to hear in walking with someone that it's like, oh, there's, it's more than just like a, oh, I'm happy for you type of thing. Like there's like a different covering of God or God's hand on it where it's like, okay, this is more like kingdom living, so to say, than just like, I'm just trying to be a good friend. And not that I'm not, but it's like having that extra, like you're saying, mindset and intentionality with it that I think I've experienced it some.
All right. Well, as we were sitting here, I felt like God said, one way that you can experience me tangibly is you listen for my voice. And when you hear my voice, then you're tangibly experiencing part of my, being a part of my kingdom. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, especially when you then act on it, right? Because then you're bringing his kingdom into fruition in whatever you're doing.
Yeah, because I think that's one thing that I think we've done a decent job of bringing this out at Catalyst, but I think that's one thing that in the past when I've heard about kingdom, we don't really hear about kingdom in terms of the kingdom is wherever the king's rule and reign is, right? And so I think we've talked about that at our church a decent amount, but yeah, in the past, it was kind of tied to a physical thing or it was tied to an internal thing, but it wasn't necessarily tied to the king, right? And so I feel like that's one thing that sets God's kingdom apart is that God is the king, right? And so, and we get a chance to be in relationship with the king. And so being a part of his kingdom and experiencing his kingdom is actually being a part and experiencing God as the king. And he wants to have relationship with us. And I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, and we try to focus on that at Catalyst, but there's a lot of people out there that don't, I mean, what I kind of feel like it is, it's they have a lot of faith because they're following based off of things they read or not having experienced the Lord in a tangible way. And so, I mean, it takes a lot of faith to continue to follow that. Mm-hmm. And so, but God is a God that wants to be in relationship with his people. And we've seen that throughout the Bible and we get a chance to experience that today. But there's a lot of people that think that he doesn't want that or that's not available anymore. And I feel like it just takes so much faith for them to continue to live like that. And so I give them, I in one way I give them props, but I also feel like they're missing out.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to circle back to what Ed did in his message, I really appreciated him bringing both aspects because, I mean, I would just say this. I think I can say this. All the things in the Bible have a balance to them. There's, you don't want to overemphasize or neglect a different aspect. And so I think it was a good reminder for me. And even this discussion, it's like, oh yeah, I do see the kingdom in my life and in around me, but I don't focus on it enough. So I definitely am skewed too much to be like, oh yeah, that's out there, that's future, that's it's. But I'm like, okay, I have, and I do experience it, present and personal. But then I think there's still an imbalance. I need to bring that part higher up.
I agree. I think, I mean, just being completely honest, the season that I'm stepping into right now, it feels harder to like, if I were to say, how do you feel now about it? I think it would be different than if I were to be able to take a step back and look at it like from a, you know, different perspective. And so I agree that it's something where, okay, I know that I experience it more or see it more, but for where I'm at right now, it doesn't feel like it because it's not around me. So then, it makes me feel like no, but yeah, I know in my heart of hearts that it's there.
Yeah.
Right. It's there. So
I think kind of going back to where we started with being in a new season, being in a new season means that things are going to look different and we're going to experience a different type of normal than we've experienced before. You know, the example that Pastor Barry used in his message was when the Israelites went from the wilderness into the promised land and they had to do things very differently. Their experience of the land was very different, right? When they were in the wilderness, God provided for them with the manna, but then when they were in the promised land, they were going to have to grow crops and take care of animals and things like that. And it's a different experience, and but it's better. And so I think in this new season, part of it is recognizing, are there certain areas that the Lord wants to make new in helping us to recognize what this new normal is going to look like, and not just fall back on the easy routine of and habits of the old way.
Yeah. Like are there areas where we've just gotten too comfortable and that like not complacent, like in a bad, but just comfortable. And it's like not longing for more and new and greater. So yeah, those aren't always fun seasons, but when you know that it's for the purpose of, oh, there's something better in store, and it's good.
I am currently in it and going through it, and both of you guys know because I have talked to you about it off air. So I think what it has done, though, because I can be someone who's not hopeful because it's only to what I can see. And so when you get to a season where you're stepping into something new, and I'm it's funny because I'm super excited and have felt that God has given me an opportunity, and just the timing of everything is like lined up where I feel like, okay, this is not coincidence. This is like recognizing the way that God is working clearly. But the earthly circumstances, the enemy can use it to try to make you doubt those things. And so when you're in that season, because it's new sometimes, and like you said, you can't just rely on what worked in the past or what's old. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But for me personally, it's like, okay, well then I need to focus on like the hope and promise that God has, that in this adjustment period or in figuring it out, in the wrestling, in the being uncomfortable, like God will smooth it out eventually. Or there's almost this attitude of like, he better. but it's just trusting in that. And it's not always easy to trust in that.
For sure.
Yeah, I know they're talking about surrender and all that stuff where it's like, okay, take it. Hurry up, take it. I'm laying it down as fast as I can, as low as I can.
What else am I holding on to? I want to get this over with.
I know. Just, yeah. But I know it's all good in the end.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't always feel like it in the moment or for certain times, but yeah.
And like you said earlier, Damon, that's the time, that is the sweet spot, but it's not the sweet spot, right? It's like, that's when all the growth, the dynamic stuff happens. Yet we just want it to be over and
yeah.
Just I'm good.
So from now on, if anybody asks me how you're doing and I tell you my knees hurt, then you know what's going on. I'm in the growing pains.
Yeah, there you go.
I think, Brett, to extrapolate a little bit further on the analogy that we're talking about with the Israelites moving into the promised land, right? Think about it. If you're one of the Israelites that is so used to wandering in the wilderness. And so you're just standing there waiting for more manna. You're waiting for more, because that's what you're used to. That's what you're comfortable with. How is it going to look when the harvest comes and you have nothing to harvest because you were just waiting, right? Mm. And so I think in this new season, it's learning, what does it look like for us to go dig up the soil? What does it look like for us to plant the seed? What does it look like for us to care for the seed, make sure there's no weeds, make sure that there's no bugs, make sure that it's able to grow so that when the harvest comes, we're ready to receive the harvest, and how that's so different than the last season. So to me, I kind of feel like you're in some of that part of the season is the tilling.
The get it out the mud season.
Yeah. But I think what that's going to lead to is you're going to see this huge harvest in the future. But it's part of it is the time and effort and work that you're putting into it now during the season. It's different. We're in a different season. So it's going to feel different. It might feel very difficult because the work that you're putting in is hard work. But when the harvest comes, you're going to be like, whoa.
Mm. I think in that analogy too, it's not just the quantity, it's the variety. Because before it was just one thing, it was manna, right? So it's like, oh, they only had one thing. Now it's like, but their taste buds get to taste all these different things, but then it takes more work and yeah.
I'm going to have to use that one.
And there's no poopless cows either, so.
Yeah. All right. Are you good? I think you have to get going too, but do we want to wrap this episode up?
I think you should come on the podcast more when you're tired. More frequent.
Why?
It's just funny.
Okay. I don't think that'll be a problem. Between now and the end of December, I don't think that'll be a problem. But some things to look forward to. We will. We are anticipating having some guests coming on this.
Some first-time guests.
Yes. One of them being Dylan Harada, who hopefully we can figure out a time where we can get the schedule correct. So, Dylan, we're calling you out. Get your schedule to us so we can figure out a time when you can come on. And another one, surprise guest.
Should we keep it a surprise or should we drop hints?
That might be a growing episode.
Well, we have a special guest who we invited to come on the show, was kind of hesitant at first, and then we told this person that they could do a question and answer, and they got really excited, and just before we started recording, sent us some of the topics, and so some of them are pretty juicy.
Some doozies. So Brett's going to be going off the dome on that one, and
I don't think I could go off the dome.
Me and Damon are doing lots of research.
Brett actually said he wanted to tap out on that one and bring in a replacement.
Can't do it, Brett. You can't do it.
I don't think, I don't know if they want to ask me those things.
All right. So I guess you're going to have to keep tuning in if you want to find out who the special guest is and what some of the juicy topics that they requested we talk about.
Should be soon, though.
I'm thinking it is either going to be next week or the week after that we'll release this episode. So it's coming pretty soon.
Yeah, lucky they don't have to wait too long for that.
It can be our excuse for why we don't have as good of an answer as we could have. These topics are so juicy, but we didn't have time to prepare. So this is all you get. All right. Well, that's another episode of Engage to Flourish. Thanks for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.